Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
480 years after Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, the nation was now at peace, and the building of the Lord's temple had started. The temple was a beautiful and elaborately finished building made to the exact plan given by God to Moses for the tent of the tabernacle, only twice as large. God gave these plans again to David. No expense was spared, for the temple was the Lord's. No other building could be compared to it. The foundations were built with dressed stone and trimmed cedar planks that acted as shock absorbers, protecting the building against many earthquakes within the region. Solomon had so many things made out of bronze that all the weight of all the bronze couldn't be worked out. The inside of the temple was overlaid with pure gold, and many utensils needed for worship ceremonies were also made out of gold. At completion, it had taken 7 years to build. God spoke to Solomon and promised him that if Solomon walked in God's ways, God would fulfill to him all the promises he had made to his father David. Solomon also built other buildings close by. When all was ready, Solomon called the leaders of Israel together for the temple dedication ceremony. This was followed by a feast and then 7 days of celebration for the Feast of Tabernacles. During this feast, the people live in temporary shelters outside of their homes and hang up harvest food to remind themselves that God has faithfully provided for them.
And so on the appointed day of the dedication of Solomon's temple, Jerusalem was filled with the great men, the priests, the elders, the princes, and the people of Israel. Richly clad representatives from many foreign nations were also in attendance. Huge crowds filled the great courtyard of the temple and its broad approaches. The scene was one of unusual splendor.
Is that really the ark they're carrying? Does God actually live in it? It's supposed to be the earthly dwelling place.
Now just a minute, you two. Let me tell you about the ark. It is actually the Ark of God, the very same one Moses made and put in the most holy place of the tabernacle. Inside that ark are the 2 tables of stone containing the 10 commandments of God, written by God's own finger. As God is holy and good and perfect, so are his commandments. God's habitation is in heaven. His approval of Israel, his influence and presence about Israel, has been made known in the past by a cloud of glory issuing from the ark. Let us hope that this shall again be so when the ark rests in the most holy place of Solomon's temple.
I think the main thing to remember in all this is one fact, that God is a real God, a living God, the God of creation. We depend upon him for every breath we breathe, every thought we think, and every move we make, every accomplishment that we perform. Our very life depends upon him. Why, he is love. He is all.
With singing and with music and with great ceremony, the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into the most holy place of the new temple. The people were overjoyed. As the priests came out of the inner sanctuary, they took the positions assigned them. Levites, arrayed in white linen, stood at the east end of the altar.
The Lord is good. He is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. For he is the Lord God of Israel. The Lord is just. He is loving. His judgments are just. For he is the Lord God of Israel.
Look, a cloud over the temple. It's so bright I can hardly see.
It's the cloud of glory. The glory of the Lord fills the temple.
It's so bright the priests cannot minister before it.
It is a sign that the Lord is with us and will bless us.
And when the feast was ended, the people blessed the king and went each to his home, joyful and glad of heart, for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David and for Solomon and for Israel. Oh, that in later years Solomon had heeded those words of wisdom. But for many years, Solomon was faithful to God. And while Solomon did remain humble and did exalt the law of heaven, the nation enjoyed prosperity. Judah and Israel dwelt safely and at peace.
At the temple's dedication, all the people worshipped God. The prayer Solomon dedicated to God during the ceremony is listed in 1 Kings chapter 8, and is still an encouragement to believers in this era now. When the people had finished the celebrations and returned to their homes, God spoke to Solomon in response to his prayer of dedication in the temple. In the Bible book of 1 Kings chapter 9, God said this warning to Solomon: "If you or your descendants stop following me, disobey the laws and commands I've given you, and worship other gods, then I'll remove my people Israel from the land that I have given them. I will also abandon this temple, which I have consecrated as the place where I am to be worshipped." God said that if this should happen, this new and glorious temple would become a pile of ruins. God would rather destroy his holy temple than permit his people to pollute it with their sin. Have you ever visited the ruins of some great building? When first built, it would have been magnificent, but with time, everything starts to decay. Whether it's some old ship on the seashore or a deserted farmhouse in the bush, the sun, wind, and rain combine to deteriorate all man-made structures. We need to be persistent in maintaining our homes, or they'll fall down to disrepair. We also need to be persistent in maintaining our relationship with our Creator God. If we're not moving forward with Him in faith, we're backsliding away in unbelief. There is no point where we can stand still. At the entrance of the temple, two tall pillars carried the weight of the roof. They each had a name that meant "He will establish" and "In Him is strength." God provides stability and strength for all His people because they worship Him. The pillars in God's spiritual temple today, that is the church, are the dedicated people who serve Him devotedly. King Solomon said wisdom is better than wealth. But how many today would rather have money? Many people measure life by price, not godly values. However, the Bible says that if you want silver and gold, you'll have to work for it. If you want wisdom, you'll have to work for that too, by taking time to read, meditate, pray, and put truth into practice. The silver and gold you earn in this world cannot be taken with you when you die and your soul leaves this earth. It is far better to seek God's wisdom, for this will last forever. The most important part of our lives is the inner part that only God sees. It's no use pretending that you are a Christian when you're not, because God knows intimately those who are trusting in Him and those who aren't. Be careful. Are we more concerned about developing a right and pure relationship with God as led by the Holy Spirit? Or are we instead seeking a good reputation and approval among our fellow people here on earth now? When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, God's presence among them was shown by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. During the temple dedication ceremony, after the Ark of God had been rightfully put in its holy place and the music makers were praising God, the temple became filled with a cloud of God's glory. Everyone present there knew that God was with them and that He was pleased with them. Since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's suffering and shame on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, God's presence is no longer revealed by pillars of clouds. When the Lord Jesus arose from death and 40 days later returned to heaven, He sent the promised Holy Spirit to dwell in all who dedicate themselves to Him. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives each humble, trusting person the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament book of Galatians chapter 5 says the fruit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. All these fruit are complete together. If you happen to wonder whether or not someone is really a Christian, look for these character traits of a spirit-controlled life. Is this a person of self-serving or self-giving? If we ourselves claim to be Christians, we also need to ask, are we serving or self-giving before God and others? A young man was studying a preaching course. While away on holidays, he went with a friend to a small church. The preacher for that service must have been at least 80 years old. The student found fault with the preacher's address and ticked off every mistake he considered the old man had made during the sermon. It seemed to last for a long time. When the service was over, the student turned to a lady next to him to say something critical. He stopped himself when he saw tears running down her cheeks. She whispered, "He said exactly what I needed to hear." Although the student was judging, the woman had a need that the Holy Spirit responded to through this old man. Although we must always give our best effort in ministry, we must never forget that the Holy Spirit can work through even the most imperfect person. Pray that the Holy Spirit will use you to reach out to those around you with the good news of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives, as this indicates God is with us. He is always holy, as he dwells in the fragile temples of our earthly bodies.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your love and kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name.
That was Lenny LeBlanc singing, "In Everything Give Thanks." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.
Jesus is